You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Be watchful. Be ready. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. We are the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air. But this is no longer the Listen Up show. This is the Sarah Ryan show from Advent Bookstores. Let's all give a hand for...
Yay! This is her annual visit, by the way.
That's right. It must be Christmas.
She's there last year, Christmas time. And she has a lot of Christmas gift advice.
And three great stores. But you know what? She's so nervous. She can't come here alone. Yeah. She has to have people hold her hand. We have Kathy Ricciuto. She's an emergency room nurse. And she's here because Sarah hyperventilates. And it's so hard to see Sarah in that flat on the ground. So, again.
Wait, you're at St. Francis Hospital, aren't
you? St. Joseph's.
Oh, St. Joseph's, okay.
And we have Maria Minerva. And Maria, God bless her, is able to really work at Advent Bookstores and put up with Sarah.
Amen.
But it's so hard. And poor Teresita was so sickened about coming here today, she stayed home. She's got some nerve. All right.
Well, Teresita, we hope you get well. We miss you.
No, we don't.
And you know what? We'll do it again. Don't worry, Teresita.
Oh,
Sarah,
yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Okay. We love you.
Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah Ryan Show. Go, Sarah.
Advent Shop. And what's tomorrow? Thursday of Advent.
How did we ever make Advent come here with the beginning of Advent?
It was simple.
Shop.
It was a back and forth thing.
He refuses to admit it was my idea. He refuses that.
So
I'm going to go with it was God's idea.
It was God's idea. Yeah.
God,
and by the way,
have you read that book lately?
No, I haven't, but it's a great book.
Wait, be careful. This is going to cost $50. This is a commercial.
Poor listeners don't know that God Did It was written by my late wife before she was diagnosed.
It's a great book. I have it.
And it's all about healing. And it's at the Advent bookstore, sort of.
Oh, and it is at the healing? Advent bookstore.
Yes. Sarah, go ahead. You don't have to play up to me. It's all right.
It
God
is.
Did, they know about God.
God
did it.
Did it.
God did God it. Did Thank
it.
You.
God did it.
So tell us, what's new at Advent?
Well, it is the beginning of Advent starting tomorrow. So our stores are ready and prepared for all those who want to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And we start out first by preparing... For Advent, we sell Advent wreaths to get people ready. It's so important to keep these traditions. You know, yesterday was Black Friday, and people were going crazy shopping, and they've forgotten the whole purpose of the season.
Amen.
The whole purpose. When you see the fighting that went on, and there was actually a stabbing in Riverhead in one of the stores, the insanity of it all. And if we would just keep Christ in Christmas, then we wouldn't have to run around. We wouldn't have to do all the crazy things that the world tells us to do as Christians. We would do what God tells us to do.
Sarah, in your stores, what do you have to offer Catholics and Christians and religious people?
I'm going to leave that to Kathy to answer. She's a customer.
This is a loaded question.
All right, Kathy.
Oh, that's right. You have one of your best customers here.
That's right. I watched
and best friend.
They're watching it from the beginning, and it's been an amazing transformation watching these girls really work at it. And, you know, you can buy anything from, you know, the smallest trinket to the most expensive nativity. But you know what you can't buy? You can't buy the love that is in those stores that these girls represent and how they evangelize. You know, the Catechism says, love is God's first gift. Containing all others.
That's the word I'm looking for, baby.
Yeah.
Evangelization.
You get love.
Yes.
You get love when you
Great
walk through those doors
answer.
Because they're not just there to sell a product. And yes, they need to sell those products because they need to keep the doors open. But you can walk in there and you can be prayed with. You can be loved. You can be helped. You can have questions answered. You know, whatever you're looking for, it comes in the form of love. And that's what they said. They don't sell it. They give it. You know, it's free.
It's priceless.
It's given. It is priceless, you know. And I've seen so many people walk in there at any time. You can be prayed with. You can be served. You know, you can. Your heart can be lightened. I've seen people cry. I've seen people laugh. And there's just life is going on in those stores. And, of course, you can buy the most beautiful books, statues, sacramentals. You know, and it goes on and on and on. They're packed with little treasures. So whatever you need, you'll find in that store. And start your shopping there. Because you know, when you've got the right gift, that is the right gift, love. And God has something for each and every person that walks through that door. There is a gift that God is waiting to give somebody in your life, in your family. And just pray and walk through the door and pick it up. And they'll help you find it.
And there are three doors. Three doors. Where are the three doors?
Rockville Center, Massapequa, and Bayshore. I just want to add to what Kathy said. I myself came back to church because of a gift that came from the Advent shop before I owned it. You know, I tell my story all the time how my husband went there and bought me a statue of Jesus and Mary. And when I opened them, I was shocked because I was like, where would you find these? And little did I know, he said the Advent shop. And then years later, I would actually own that shop.
And there's a long story behind that. I wonder if we have time. You can tell us how that came about. That's a very interesting story.
There's always, you know what? God already has a pre-plan. He already has a holy setup. You know, he brings you in a certain way. And that's why we're going to ask Maria why she decided to work with us.
Maria, you work at Advent Store. Do you have a health plan?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, you should. Because
she had the best health plan. God keeps her healthy.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to reiterate that. Yes, everything that comes from the Advent store is very healing and very peaceful. You're in that atmosphere with the most beautiful treasures, as Kathy has said. When you come into the store, it's not just physical, it's spiritual. And we're there with you. And if you come in and your heart is heavy, we have there are those there to work with you, to pray with you, to listen to you, to bless you. It is a wonderful blessing to be part of the Advent shop. Advent is really an extended family of mine. The reason I am here for so many years working at the Advent shop is because God called me to go to the Advent shop. And I cannot see myself not participating in the Advent shop. It's a pleasure. It's a joy. And we are family. And the nicest thing is that you interact with others. And you're there serving God's people. Because some need to know more than others about their faith. And that's why we're there. You know, this is God's store. This is not our store. This is the store that brings you closer to God each and every day. Each and every person that comes into that store, we pray. We pray in the morning. We pray that those souls that are walking through that door, that we can be an extension of God's light, God's love, God's grace. And when they leave there, they tell us, for the most part, people will say, I feel something here. I feel a presence. And I say, well, thank you, because God has called you here. There are some that come into the store and say, I really don't know why I am here, but I felt drawn to come into this store. And I you know, that's a gift of thanks, a gift of grace. It's just a wonderful pleasure to be part of the Advent shop.
Tony, one last thing.
Go ahead, then I go.
Because you're not only in those three locations, you also have a website. Why don't you give them the website?
Yes, we do have a website. It's adventshop.com. which is, you know, is wonderful.
AdventShop.com. Is it shop or shops?
Shop. S-H-O-P.
AdventShop.com. Do you think we said it enough?
Yes, not enough. It's never said enough. You know, I just want to say, listen, and Kathy said it best, and Maria said it also, but I'm going to say it again. It's not about the product, though we are blessed to be able to sell things that draw people closer to Christ, to Jesus.
So if someone wants to shop.
I mean, that's a perfect gift. You know what? I mean, our business is different than any other because we are allowed in our business not only to do business but to minister. Mm-hmm. It's a ministry that is run like a business because we need to keep the doors open, pay the rent. But the most important thing that God told us when we started it was that he wanted us to work in the vineyard of saving souls.
Amen. Okay.
But if someone comes into your store, the point that I'm trying to bring up before I was so rudely interrupted.
Listen, I don't mind if I say something.
What?
I do.
He does.
I do. He never changes. 4 years, same way. But the point that I'm bringing up is that if someone is hungry, looking to be fed, doesn't see fit to go to the church and knock on this rectory door and say, I want to talk to a priest, because priests are so busy and stuff like that. Isn't this one of the best places to go to?
Tony,
to talk about spirituality?
Yes.
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. God, you know, God sent his Holy Spirit, and God meets you where you're at. Whether you're walking through the door with absolutely no knowledge of God, or you have the deepest theology of Thomas Aquinas, God meets you where you're at, and there is a product in there for every person, whether it's just a small little trinket or medal or a rosary or, you know,
prayer card.
Yeah. It's meant for you. That's what I was thinking, you know, saying before, you know, when you walk that door, there is something in there for you.
I will tell one of the best stories that me personally that happened there. I had a young woman come in who was going through a horrific, horrific divorce. And she came into the store one day and says, I don't know why I came here, but I just didn't know where else to go. And it ended up she was going through a really hard time. And I love this story because we prayed with her, and she continued to come back. And she was going through this really hard divorce. And every time she went to court, she would stop in the store, and I would pray with her. And then I would send her back, and I would say, please, St. Michael, just surround her and defend her. Well, she was going for her last day in court. She had just about lost everything. He was going to get the kids. He was going to get just about everything. He was very powerful, knew a lot of people. I hate to say it this way, but it's not what you know, it's who you know. But we know someone better. So finally, the last day, she goes to court, and she's standing in front of the judge. And she had this big down coat on. She won't mind me telling the story. Big down coat on, and the judge was just going to rule against her. He actually started to say that he was ruling against her. And these feathers started flying out of her down jacket. No lie.
Are you kidding?
No, this is a true story. He looked up at her, and her husband looked over at her with disdain, like, look at that coat you have on. And she just knew, as those feathers were flying out, that things were going to be okay. And the judge looked down again, and he goes, wait a minute. I didn't see this. And he goes, hold on. And he starts looking through these papers. And all of a sudden, he looks up, and he goes, this is all wrong. They shouldn't have done this to you. And he ruled in her favor.
Wow.
She got all the back money she was supposed to get. You should have seen this person who came in like a wounded bird at one time come in, standing up straight, bright as a light. Right, Maria? Maria will tell you. And every year at Christmas, she comes to the shop and brings me the most beautiful bouquet of flowers you can imagine.
Very nice.
Sure.
You can't make this stuff up even if you wanted to.
And your birthday.
And my birthday.
Oh, very nice customer.
And Tony, I know you got a piece of scripture you want to read, but after that, I want to play
a
song.
Okay. Go, play
a song. I have a song that I think really epitomizes what we're talking about. Because Jesus is alive. Michael Smith, turn your eyes upon Jesus, which is what Advent Store is all about. So listeners, get yourself in the mood for Advent, for Christmas, and for the coming of Jesus today in your hearts. We're not just talking about a store. We're talking about a love that can become your way of life. want it to be. So listen and do as the words say. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You'll hear them sung in a moment. Do it now, listeners. Turn your eyes around Jesus and await from Black Friday and await from commercialism and to the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus. Alive in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. Now I think you have Christmas cheer in your heart. How can you help but have it when Jesus is serenading you through Michael Smith? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It's Christmas.
Very nice.
I wrote it myself.
Now, before I was interrupted by Dr. Palmer, this is rather
touchy.
This
touchy.
Is rather, I know, call it strange, call it what you want, but when you told your story about the judge and about the, what do you call him, I turned to my Bible sayings, and I immediately went to Psalm 146, and here's what it says. This is no coincidence. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raised them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. So he opened the eyes of the judge because he apparently loved the person that was being
wronged.
And as I turned, this was immediate. Until John interrupted me. but I just wanted to bring that up.
And the beautiful thing is, God's no respecter of persons. He will do that for anyone who's in need.
Yeah,
that's right.
For anyone who's in need.
Yep.
And see, the program is not about Advent bookstores. The program is about God's love.
Yes.
And Christmas.
Yes.
And how can we share that love? Kathy, I see you grabbing some scripture. Go ahead.
It's from Luke, and it's, you know, about the incarnation. And it's just Luke 1:35. And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." And that's what we're all called to do. We're all called to birth Jesus, not just in this season, but in every season of our lives. And that's how we're called to do it, you know, in the Advent shop, in our prayer groups, in just our conversations with each other. I mean, I have prayed with people in the frozen food aisle of Pathmark.
Yes.
My husband was a little leery about that, but, you know, it happens, you know. And do we have the courage to step out? God, give us that courage. Holy Spirit, give us that courage to step out like Sarah has and Teresita has and John and Tony, to take that chance that, you know what, in the world's eyes it might look like a failure, but in God's eyes it is everything. It is every good gift. So that's what we're called to do this season.
And are you going to talk about some of the gifts that people could get for Christmas?
You know what I do want to talk about?
Go ahead.
One of the things that burdens my heart, and really truly does burden my heart, is a lot of people will come into the shop, and they really want to share the gift of Christ with someone. But there's such a feeling of fear out there today, especially with grandparents, so fearful to offend their own children. Marie will attest to this. So many times they come in and they want to get something for the children, and then they say to me, but I'm so afraid my son or my daughter will be upset. You know, they don't really like this religious idea, and they don't really, and you know, I just look at them, and I tell my little bit of my story is that, you know what? You're not responsible for the outcome of the gift you give. You choose the gift and let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. And that's what happened in my life. You know, I got the gift. I put it in the closet, but Jesus and Mary wouldn't stay in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you, I see this tremendous fear in people today not to offend.
Yeah,
and they're more fearful of offending their own children or their families than they are offending God.
I have to tell you, being a parent and talking about this with my wife many, many times, it's a common phenomenon amongst families. And I think what we need is prayer. Because I think of St. Monica praying 17 years for her son, St. Augustine, until finally he converted. But I think it's prayers that we need. My wife tells me,
grandparents and even parents, your responsibility is the child's soul.
Right.
You know what? You may not be responsible to be their best friend today.
Yes.
But you are responsible to train them up in the way they should go, to know God.
Yes.
That's your, you know what? This is your, your children are your talent. Just the Lord showed me this recently. Your children are your talent. Are you going to bury them because he's a fearful God and leave them in the dirt?
Right.
Or are you going to do things to make them fruitful?
The reading 2 weeks ago.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are you going to do things to make them fruitful?
Yes, I agree.
And it takes work.
Yeah, prayers.
Yeah,
and so my wife tells me, I don't know if she tells me lovingly, but she tells me, keep your mouth shut and pray.
I can't imagine Joni ever saying that. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine him keeping his mouth shut.
I've been saying that prayer for so long.
Okay.
You know, I put Amazing Grace on in the background.
It's a great song.
We're being blessed by Jesus right now. And there are listeners who have children or husbands who are either very ill. I just have a friend who lost a son to cancer, leg cancer, just this past week. And they need help and need to be touched here through us and through anything else that can counteract the commercialism of Christmas. That's what we're about today. That's what your shop is all about, isn't it, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. It's about comforting.
Comforting, yes.
Comforting. The lost, the lonely. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many people, and I say it's such a beautiful opportunity. So many people walk in the shops, and, you know, they come in there, and they may want to buy a gift for someone. They don't even know what they need to get. You know, it's a funny thing, because they'll come in and ask you something. You know they haven't been to church in a long time, and you know they really don't know why they're there, but God brought them there. And you get such a great opportunity. I remember once having a conversation with this young woman and about marriage. And she actually ended up going back to church. And she went and she got her annulment. And then a year later got remarried in the church. I got to tell you, sometimes I'm amazed at what God does through us.
That's the procedure.
You know, to be able to speak to her and give her the information she needed. Father Larry says sometimes the Advent shops are like a conduit. People come through us and leave the doors, and then, you know, I'm not the church. I want them to go back to the church. I don't want to replace the church. I want to send them to church.
But now, through the Advent shop, you're evangelizing. How are you evangelizing? You're evangelizing by people coming into the store. You're evangelizing to them. They're buying merchandise, probably for gifts, giving it to whoever they're giving it to, and evangelizing with those gifts. I'll give you a story. I got, for my 50th anniversary, a beautiful picture from a dear friend of ours that I grew up with, of The Last Supper. Beautiful. Joan and I were fabulous with it. And we loved it so much, we hung it up in our dining room. Mm-hmm. And we asked them, where did you buy that picture? They bought it from you.
Praise God.
But I have to tell you, John was in my room. I don't know if he noticed it, but we've done shows there. But it's a beautiful, large picture of The Last Supper. Mm-hmm. And it fits in that spot so perfectly. It was like it was
meant to be
made
there
for that spot. So I just wanted to share that.
I wanted to ask Maria. Now, you've heard Sarah talk about something special that happened to her. What, is there anything really special that you would share that
something,
might have happened
something
to
you,
you from a customer or whatever?
I know, in my heart, I don't know what, but I know would something turned you to Jesus.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but something did.
Yeah.
Can
you share
it
with
share
our
that?
Listeners?
Yeah, sure. You know, I always had faith, but I never really knew how much faith I had until the day my mother passed. And when my mother passed, I lost my best friend. And I was in so much pain. And I knew that the ones who loved me were trying to comfort me, but I knew in my heart and my soul that it was not enough. And I began to go, I always attended church, but I was a part of a religion. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when my mother passed, and the pain that was within me, I began to go to church every day and tell the Lord. I would look at him on the cross and say, Lord, you are God. You are on the cross, but I am in so much pain. I don't know what to do. Well, God knew what to do. I was at St. Joseph's, my parish, and I picked up a bulletin, and I saw there was a prayer group. And I went downstairs, and I attended that prayer group. And that day, my life changed. I always remember that day as saying, the day my mom passed and the Lord had taken her, I began to live. Because when I would be there, I would see those in that prayer group. And I knew there was a couple that played the guitar and that was in our music ministry. And I said, I want what they have. I didn't know what it was, but I wanted it. I wanted it so badly and so desperately. And from that day on, I began to grow and grow and grow. And now it's more than 20 years. And I thank God every day that he did for me what I could not do for myself, because God is God. And from that day on, I began to grow and grow. And you know, when you begin to change, the people around you are not very happy. They're looking at you like you have two heads. So that all worked itself out as God's plan would be. And now I'm at Advent, and I feel like God has called me here. And now I said, okay, Lord, I'm here 4 years. Now, do I move on? And he said, never. You're there. You're there, and you're going to stay. So I just thank God for my faith, for the Advent shop, for the people who I are part of that Advent shop. And I'm just so grateful, and I thank God.
And we're grateful for you.
And you.
Let me ask you a quick question. I suspect that there are going to be listeners that are going to want to talk to you, going to want to come to the store to talk to you.
Yes.
I don't know why, but that's my suspicion. Our listeners do stuff like this. What store do you work out of?
I work out of the Advent store in Rockville Center. Yes.
And so yes. They can call Rockville Center if they want to talk to you and
yes.
stuff like that?
And you know, when they come in, I have a picture. I have a picture of the Blessed Mother. I have a picture of Blessed Mother, Lady of Medjugorje. I had it in my home for 5 years. And when my husband passed away, the following day, the picture began to change. And we call it our miracle picture. Mm-hmm. And we pray around that picture. Our Lady is just so beautiful. You must come into the shop just to see her. She is so alive. She actually became three-dimension. She is so with you.
Hmm.
And people pray around this picture, and they come back, and they say, thank you, thank you.
What's the phone number for Rockville Center shop?
Our phone number is 516-536-7900. And we'll be
one
looking forward. Okay, 516-536-7900. And we'll look forward to seeing you there.
You're going to be getting calls. I almost can guarantee that.
I just hope you paid all your bills because you don't want those kind of calls, you know.
Really, that was a great... I knew there was a testimony to come out of this. Thank
you
so much.
We also do scripture of the coming Sunday. And we have a little commentary for it in advance, and it kind of fits in with the whole theme of the program.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that I suggested that I read this today.
I'm so glad. I only had to twist his arm, pull his hair out.
What's left of it?
That's like, thank
literally.
You, Kathy.
But, you see, I'm from Brooklyn.
We know.
And so does everyone else. So I know he would give it more dignity if he read it.
Right. Aww.
But you know, the first words just incorporate everything we've been talking about. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming. Mm-hmm. One interpretation of Jesus's words tells us of the final coming of the reign of God, when all things will be permeated by God's love, and all darkness and all sin will vanish with a cosmic poof. And God will be all in all. Be watchful, Jesus declares, because you never know. We can legitimately read another interpretation here, and it's what we've been talking about. For God is likely to come into our presence at just about any moment. We do well to watch for such moment. God in each person we live and work with. God in each stranger we pass in the street. God in the cosmos we so often take for granted. God in a crowded theater and in the privacy of our home. So listeners, be watchful. Be ready. Cultivate eyes ready to see God in any and all places, such as Advent shops, in any and all circumstances. You never know. Poof! Overwhelming grace when you least expect it. Doesn't that kind
it's
of
very
fit?
Beautiful.
It's just the way we planned it.
Yes, very beautiful.
And you, I know you have a saint of the day.
Yes, I do have a saint of the day.
Who could it be?
Well, this saint, I'll tell you, let me give you a little quick background. I really spent a lot of time trying to decide what saint to use every week. And I try to make it fit the show, and I try to make it be current. This saint is current. We celebrate a feast day on November 25th. But it also fits the show because it's a woman. And as I thought about it, I says, you know what? We're going to have Sarah and her gang here today. And they're women. And they're doing so much to evangelize and so much to bring the word of God, the word of Jesus to the world, to the public. It's no more fitting that I use a female saint. And so I decided on using St. Catherine of Alexandria. Now, St. Catherine, like all the other saints, just turned her back towards getting married, turned her back towards doing the wrong thing. And so she was about 18. She lived in the Egyptian city of Alexandria, so St. Catherine of Alexandria, the city that Antony the Great of Egypt had once visited. Catherine lived during the reign of the Roman Emperor Maxentius, and was famous throughout the city for her beauty. Despite this, she was the sort of person who liked to spend her time reading and studying. Indeed, she was just as famous for her intelligence as she was for her good looks. And there were so many saints that were so beautiful and so intelligent.
We're never going to be saints.
No, we're not.
We don't fit
but
the
we're
requirements.
Meant to be.
Okay.
We're meant to be. We're meant to be, John. Okay. We're meant to be.
But we're not beautiful.
You are.
No, we're old and honorary. If I say
and
so myself.
And beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and God sees you as beautiful.
I think he does. Now, it so happened that the emperor made a visit to Alexandria, which was part of his empire. When he was there, he heard about Catherine's beauty and intelligence. He commanded his servants to bring her to meet him. As soon as he saw her, he decided he wanted to marry her immediately. But there was a problem. The old chap was already married. He already had a wife.
Shucks.
But Maxentius, who continued to worship the ancient Roman gods, didn't think this mattered at all. "Oh, don't worry," he says. "I'll have two wives at the same time. I'm the emperor. I can do what I like." Catherine was having none of this. She refused his proposal, saying that as a Christian, she couldn't possibly agree to such a relationship. Maxentius then gathered together great number of teachers and professors who believed in the Roman gods. He told them to persuade Catherine that her Christian faith was nonsense. She listened to them for a while and then started answering their points convincingly and persuasively. The result was that, far from getting Catherine to change her mind, these wise men began to change their minds and began to convert. Of course, we all know this infuriated the emperor. He not only was angry, he was alarmed. What would happen if Rome gave up its worship of the old gods? He didn't want any of that to happen. This is Christian nonsense. So he gave orders that Catherine should be put to death in a particularly horrible way.
There goes another
He had a large whale made with sharp blades set into the outside rim. Mm. Then Catherine was tied around the edge. Mm. The blades were intended to cut her into pieces as the whale rolled around her. Mm. It didn't go according to the plan. When Catherine was bound to the whale, it broke and the blades flew off in all directions, flashing in the light and wounding the soldiers who were supposed to be putting her to death.
Good.
So people say all this was caused by lightning striking the whale. Whether that is true or not, Catherine's executioners didn't try making another whale, but they did behead her at once. It is said that a flight of angels then descended from heaven and carried her body to Mount Sinai, where centuries before, God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses. Even today, there was a mastery named St. Catherine's there. People who remember the death of St. Catherine with the fireworks that is named after her which is supposed to spin around as her wheel did.
Hmm.
And she is known as the Catron Wheel.
Oh.
So that's the short story of St. Catron, a woman who, like so many other women, became saints, and who, like so many other women, have done so much, and who, like so many women, have been given favors by God.
Very special.
And while we're on women, I'm doing a... God has brought me to do a little study on St. Teresa, the Little Flower, St. Teresa of the
Lisieux. I love her.
Yeah. And you can get The Way of Trust and Love in the Advent shop, and it's just a beautiful 5-day retreat that is very small, personal, but filled with just good things. And one of the quotes I'm going to use is from The Story of a Soul, but she says, she's quoting a poem, and she says, "Life is your boat, not your home." Mm-hmm. Life is your boat, not your home. Mm-hmm. And just like St. Catherine, we all have a boat that we're sailing through life with.
Absolutely.
Who are we pulling into the boat with us? You know, we can't pull everybody, but we can pull the people around that God has in our area, in the water there, just to pull them in and to take that sail onto the horizon, you know, that is our eternal life. You know, and we are saints. We are all called to be saints, like St. Catherine. Maybe not beheaded or martyred, but you know what? We each suffer in some way, shape, or form. And that is what our prayer is. You know, we offer that to God, and we pull those people in our boat, and we love them. We love our neighbor, and we bring them into that love of God, because most people, a lot of people, don't know true love. You know, they're looking for the world. They're looking to the world to give them that love, and they always come up disappointed. And the only love that will satisfy the love they're looking for is the love of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right.
You know, so that's our boats. You know, we're all called to go out into that boat of life and just sail
and
along.
And we have such a gift. We can receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus the Messiah daily at Mass. That's what we as Catholics believe. And many other religions believe that as well.
Yeah.
And once you allow that nourishment into your body, it takes over your whole being.
Consummation.
That's right.
Have you seen people as a Eucharistic minister, when they come up to receive communion, they have such innocent looks on their faces. Mm. They may have been filled with torment before, but when they come up, they just say, "Wow, here's God." Yeah. You see that as a Eucharistic minister, don't you, Toby?
Oh, yes, absolutely, 100%.
And there's some that don't know what they're receiving, you know, and that's what we're called to do, is to bring that
good
knowledge
point.
To them.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, Carol. A very good point.
Whether they do or they don't, it's still Christmas for them.
And it's still Christ.
That's still Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and he changes lives. Maria shared her story. Sarah shared her story. Kathy shared. We all share.
But Sarah said yes. Maria said yes. Kathy said yes. And once
I said maybe.
No, you said yes. You said yes. I know what you said.
Can we break, you know?
But once you say yes, fasten your seatbelts, because you're going for a ride.
That's right.
And it's an adventure. So all you need is that, okay, like Mary. Yeah. Mary said yes.
It is an adventure. But, you know, sometimes people think because they say yes, that everything should be A-okay.
We know. John and I know well.
Joseph, in the Bible, that's been one of my favorite stories recently because, you know, he had this beautiful vision, just like our vision of the Advent shop, beautiful vision, and then from that vision, he got thrown into a pit. From that pit, he got taken to Potiphar's house, and then he got thrown into jail. And then from jail, but all those things, at the end of all those things that happen, he ends up being second in command of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say about all that? What man meant for my evil, God meant for my good. Because there's nothing that happens to us that doesn't go through the hands of the Father.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing. Oh.
And Maria mentioned earlier how out of the death of her mother and her husband,
she came
to Jesus.
Yes.
Came life.
And it happened in my life. It's happened in every
in
one of
our lives.
In one way or another. Trevor, our producer, on Thanksgiving had 200 or 300 people at his church. And they started a ministry to try and collect food for the poor and other kind of gifts that people need at Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's across, it's not just Catholic, it's across religions, people of goodwill.
People are trying to do good. People
yesterday
are trying to do
I went
goodwill.
On a Ten Commandments walk with the Boy Scouts, with my little six-year-old grandson, and we went to different houses of worship. I have to tell you what a beautiful experience that was.
Yes.
We heard from the Hindu religion, the Catholic religion. We went to a mosque. We went to the United Polish Church, and Greek Orthodox, and how we all are there because we love the love of God, and it's just we're so united in that love of God that it doesn't matter where we're coming from. It's loving our neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Those are the two great commandments, And I'm going to just do another little
quote. That's what Jesus said.
From St. Teresa. Yeah. And she says, if I love the good that is in my neighbor as much as he loves it in himself, that good is as much mine as it is his. I said, wow.
Wow.
Wow. If I love your good as much as you love it, then that good becomes mine. How we would cure the world with that kind of love.
Yeah. I once had a quote in prayer, evil is united to destroy humanity.
Yes.
And good is divided, fighting over which good is right. Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah.
No, we are all dealing with man-made divisions.
Yes.
And
because
why
good
not
is
get
the enemy
to the
of best.
That's right. And God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And we want his love to touch everyone. And he does. When he doesn't touch, he doesn't have Catholic love, and he doesn't have Protestant love or evangelical love. His love. And it cannot be subdivided.
There's only one thing. We need to accept his love.
Yes.
And we need to know that his love is there for us. So as he opened his arms to go on the cross, we need to open our arms to
when
accept
you open
him.
Your arms, you nearly knocked Maria
I'm
off
sorry,
a chair. I just figured I'd point that out.
I'm so sorry.
We also pray for healing for the people who listen to our show. Mm. And we have petitions that people give. So we're gathered around the table, listeners. We've hoped you've enjoyed this loving commercial for Advent Stores because it's for God's love. And we ask you now, gather around where you are. Hold the hands of those who are with you and become alive in God's love. And we're going to play Silent Night in the background. By the Canterbury Orchestra, organs and chimes. And I may replay it a few times as we go through the prayer. Settle back, listeners. Put yourself in the presence of Jesus. And allow yourself and your mind to drift back to that night in the stable where Jesus was born. And let his love come into your heart now. And let Mary pick up Jesus and place him in your arms. And you can cuddle him as a child. Put your finger in his hand and let him squeeze your finger. And as he squeezes your finger, his healing love will come into you. It's Christmas, everybody. It's time for God's love. He sent us a Messiah, and he's sending it to you now over these airwaves. And friends around the table, if you have any words you wish to share them with our listeners. Think of them and the healing they need. We have so many that have cancer, going through divorces, who have all different kinds of problems. See if in your heart God places words for them. Feel free to share.
Jesus, we give you praise and glory and thank you. We thank you for bringing us Sarah and and Carol and Maria to do the show today, and thank you for allowing us to continue to do the show. We're so happy that they're here and that you're allowing us to go into our fourth year of the show. And we'll also thank you for allowing us to get our nonprofit number.
Good.
Which we are now a nonprofit organization.
That's about us. What about our listeners who may be in pain? If you have any words, share them.
I do have a word for the lonely. And when you were pouring out your heart about Jesus, you know, holding Jesus, you know, just picture Jesus, the infant, wrapping those baby arms around your heart. For all those who are lonely or sad or missing people in their lives or feel discouraged or disappointed by the love they have given out and not received back, and maybe experiencing a great loneliness this season, just know that the God of love can't help himself but to wrap himself around you and pour out his grace and his love into your heart, so it'll be so filled and overflowing that you will never know that loneliness again. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We praise you, Jesus.
Sarah?
Father, I thank you that you give us this opportunity now to declare and decree your love for each and every one of us. I thank you, Father, for this awesome day and the beginning of this new season. Advent means preparation, but it also means new beginnings. So we get to try again our new beginnings. Every day, it says, his tender mercies are new every day. So if you've fallen, know that you can get up again. Know that God is there for you. Know that he sees your pain. He sees your sorrow. He sees your hurting, but he also sees your effort. He sees your effort to try again and try and try and try again. And he's there for you. He loves you. His words are, my child, I love you. And, you know, the scriptures say that he waits to be gracious to you. He's waiting for you to ask. Just ask. Ask, and he will deliver you. Ask, and he will heal you. Ask, and he will restore you. He's here for you.
Maria.
So turn your eyes to heaven and know that the Father of all creation has you on his mind this day. He calls you by name. And he loves you. Praise you, Lord.
I thank God and I praise God for the gift of grace, for the gift of hope. With Jesus, you always have hope. There is no despair. There is no fear. But with Jesus, you have it all. So you call upon him. He will never leave you. He's in the center. He's the in the center of all. And I thank you, and I love you, and I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
And I hear Jesus, or the words inside of me. Look beyond Santa Claus. Look beyond the Christmas tree. Look even beyond the creche. Look into your heart. That's where I want to be this Christmas. I want to take over your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and most of all, your free will. I want you to freely choose me as your primary Christmas present this year. It's free. You don't need Black Friday. You don't even need Advent shop. You just need an open heart. Open your heart to me, are the words I hear, so that I can wish you a Merry Christmas. Amen. And we're going to ask, Lord, through Michael Smith, for more love and more power. And listen to the child up front. I think. Praise you, Lord. Merry Christmas, everybody, a month ahead of time.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And listeners, thank you for listening. We love you.
And don't forget the Advent shop.
And Jesus, please lift up the petitions that we have here amongst us, those that are hurting, those that are in pain, those that are suffering. We ask that you have mercy on them. Thank you,
Jesus. Bring more love. More love to every listener. And especially to Trevor, who has had to sit and listen to almost 4 years of this. And he still has all of his marbles. I don't know how you do it, Trevor. I don't know how you do it.
What?
Still smiling.
How do I do it? Putting up with you for 4 years.
Oh, there goes the Christmas joy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. Happy Advent, everybody. Happy Advent. May Jesus fill you all during these next 4 weeks so you truly have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We love you.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management,
and praise Jesus.
Or owners of WGBB. The following The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
We're off.
We're off.
We're done.
Are we off?
Yeah. We won't talk about that. Thank you.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240